Next up is Inside Finance. Inside Finance is a special feature of this program every week where we discuss in depth the financial and economic challenges of our time and explore possible solutions. Here is your host this week, Stanford Simon.
Pleasant good day to Grenada, Caracou, Petit Martinique, the rest of the Eastern Caribbean, wherever you are. I am Stanford Simon. This is Inside Finance. Within the next 30 minutes, I will be speaking to Mr. Timothy Antoine, who is Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Finance. Carnival is in the air, and for those of you listening today, I'm sure a lot is happening. In a few minutes, I will be spending some time with him. We take a word from our sponsors, we come back and begin our discussion here with Mr. Timothy Antoine. We have a whole lot to talk about, Clico, Bico. We're talking about national plan and what is happening in geothermal. We'll be right back. All our listeners and supporters of the SGBC radio programs, you can now download the SGBC app on your Android phone. Go to the Play Store and get involved. Listen to some great music, great preaching, summon it, testimonies. Great things happening at the SGBC Grenada.com, and the app is available to you. Go download it from the Play Store to your Android phone. SGBC. It is available to you, an app that you can use wherever you are. Music will be available to you wherever you are now. You do not have to wonder, where is the radio? Download it on your Android phone and carry it with you wherever you go. The SGBC app is available to you in the Play Store. Welcome back. This is Inside Finance with me, is Mr. Timothy Antoine, Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Finance. Good day to you, Timothy.
Good day, Pastor Simon, and good day to all of our listeners. And I especially want to say welcome. Welcome home. Welcome to the Spice for visitors. And we have many visitors at this time.
Yeah, they're all here. And I guess you being in the Ministry of Finance, you're quite happy to have them here, not only for the finances, but good that many of them could come home to visit.
Indeed, indeed. It's always good to see Grenadians and friends of Grenada come home. And of course, at a personal level, sometimes you see people who you have not seen in years come back, whether it is for carnival or whether it is for reunions, school reunions, class reunions, or just family time, and it's always good to see them. But even for people who are just visiting to spend time, perhaps for the carnival, we especially want to welcome them to our beautiful country and to wish them a very pleasant and memorable stay.
Okay, wonderful. Now, here goes my first question to you today. This is the carnival season, as you know, saying. What is the impact of carnival on the economy?
Quite significant. We know for a fact that August is the largest month, or the biggest month in terms of arrival visitors to the country every year. We know that easily we can get between, in August we could get around 8,000-9,000 visitors in the country. Not all of them are here for carnival, but clearly a good number are. And let's just assume 5,000 of these people came for carnival, and let's assume that they spent $2,000 while they were in Grenada. That's $10 million in the economy. I'm just using very simple estimates here. It's probably more than that in terms of spend. People spend the money on accommodation, hotel and guest houses, on shows, food, transport, that sort of thing. So it's quite significant. We know also that at least half of those visitors are Grenadians returning home, and then the other half come from particularly the U.S. and Trinidad. So, in terms of economic impact, it is a very good time for business in terms of hotels, shops, restaurants, those who sell beverages, of course, those who do the various shows. And overall, it's an injection into the economy in terms of in financial terms. Now, We will know because the Ministry of Finance is working with the Tourism Authority, and we will have a better idea of that impact in dollar terms after this carnival, just as we did some work after the cricket in April, where we were able to establish close to $10 million was spent in the country because of the cricket match. We will also be able to come up with a number after carnival. But clearly, carnival does have significant economic benefits to the country.
Now, last week, you were involved in a meeting with policy holders, BICO and CLICO. What can you tell us about this situation, even for many of the things people are looking at, people are worried and concerned, although they have a festive time, but these are in the back of their mind. What is happening with that?
Yes, so I attended at the invitation of the insurers and some interested policyholders a meeting to discuss the situation with British American and CLICO. It's a situation that is really challenging and one that concerns us all. And it's something we've been working on since 2009. My personal role in this is as chairman of the ECCU Technical Core Committee on Insurance. So our committee advises the ministers, the heads really, on this issue of BICO and CLICO. So what I did was to just update them on the progress we've made over the last 6 years. And we've done a number of things. You know, when we got involved in this situation in mid or late 2009, we had to take some quick action. The first thing we did was to arrange to sell the property portfolio to ensure that people had protection for the upcoming hurricane season. We did that in 2010. We then moved to deal with the health support fund, where there were people who had health insurance support fund who had medical claims that were not being paid, and we obviously were very concerned about that. And we intervened, and we were able to help around 7,000 policyholders. About $3.5 million was paid in that regard. And then we moved to dealing with the question of and we did that in 2011. And then in 2012, we moved to deal with the traditional portfolio. That's the universal life insurance and the traditional insurance products. And what we did there was to arrange to have that transferred, sold to Sagicor. And again, what happened there as a result of that, we were able to protect more than 15,000 policyholders. So they were able to have all of their policies move over to Sagicor. So they continued to have coverage. They did not have to start over, because starting over would have been disruptive both for them in terms of having to pay more, because the older you are, the more you pay in insurance premium, but also in terms of the situation with the banks, which were using some of these policies as collateral for mortgages or various things. And so we were able to help in that regard over 15,000 policyholders across the Eastern Caribbean Currency Union. And then after that, we began to address the issue of policy claims. People who have had investments, annuities, what they call EFPAs and FPAs, flexible premium annuities and executive flexible premium annuities. Mm-hmm. And so far, we've paid over $108.5 million to almost 8,000 policyholders in the ECCU, across the ECCU. In Grenada, we've paid around $30 million to 1,800 policyholders to give them something. So all the persons who have policies under $30,000 have been paid their full sum, less interest. And those who have over $30,000, we started to make payments on those to give them $30,000. We have not yet finished that phase three, but in Grenada, for example, we would have already paid out $10 million to 300 and something people. And we have another $6 million to pay to 180 people before we finish phase three. The reason why we have not finished phase three is because the monies from Trinidad have not arrived. We were expecting another disbursement last year, since 2014, has not come. The last time we got a disbursement from Trinidad was in December 2012. So it's been a very, very disappointing time in terms of waiting on that disbursement and not being able to get that money to hand over to people and so on. But we continue to press the government of Trinidad and Tobago in that regard, because they had promised $100 million. So far, we've only got $36 million. So we still have another 64 we're expecting. Now, we've used that 36 to help with the things I talked about earlier, the traditional portfolio, which we had to put in money, the policyholders relief scheme, the health insurance support fund, and all of those things. Right now, I do, however, have some good news, and that is that the judicial managers have in fact made some recovery in terms of the assets of British American. And I was explaining that that means that they'll be in a position to pay out some additional money to policyholders, separate and apart from what we're doing with Trinidad. And the way for us to do that is that a law must first be passed, what we call a plan of arrangement law. And essentially what that does is a short law, it's 5 pages long. It allows the judicial manager to go to the creditors to get them to vote on a plan. And after that plan is voted on, they can then proceed to the policyholder and do a distribution, which the court will endorse, because we need to get court approval. So to do that, we need to pass the law. So I'm saying all that to say there is some light, but obviously it's been a long, difficult road, and there's still a long ways to go. And that's British American. On CLECO, we are working on the matter of getting Barbados into some kind of getting some kind of arrangement with Barbados. Barbados, at the moment, is advocating a policy or a proposal which we just cannot accept, because we cannot agree to have them take assets in Barbados for Barbados policyholders and exclude policyholders in the Eastern Caribbean Currency Union. And so we are insisting that we must have a fair share of those assets for the benefit of our policyholders. And that matter is now the subject of litigation in Barbados. Unfortunately, we've had to go to court. So I was updating them on that. One of the outcomes of the meeting was the decision by the policyholders in Grenada to form a policyholders group. And they will have their next meeting, I think, around the 28th of August, if I recall, at which time there will be some further decisions about how they proceed. I think they're looking at the legal options, which is their right so to do. And, of course, we will continue at the level of the governments to try to press on with the resolution. So that is where we are. In sum, we are working on this. We have made some progress, more with British American than CLECO. We are pressing the CLECO matter in Barbados at the moment. And of course, we continue to press Trinidad to give us some additional resources, as promised, at the level of the CARICOM heads of government. Once we get those resources, we are going to make further payments. So I specifically want to just, in closing off on this, say that the people who are waiting in phase three, those 180 Grenadian policyholders who are still waiting on around $6 million, as soon as we get monies, we will have them paid. The checks were done. There's just no money in the bank. Okay. As soon as we get the money, we will issue those checks so that they can complete that. And then we will move on to phases 4 and 5, where we'll try to give some more money to the policyholders, because there's some policyholders with $100,000, with $200,000, maybe $1 million, and so far what they got, if they got, is $30,000. So the next round will be to give them something more based on the monies that are available. But it's really been a challenging time, and of course it has affected all of our economies, because that is a lot of money taken out of the economies. Remember, these were monies by Grenadians taken into Trinidad to buy assets in Trinidad and Florida. And so we cannot accept now any suggestion that that is Grenada's problem and that's the Eastern Caribbean problem. Mm-hmm. When our monies were used to buy and build the company in Trinidad and to buy assets in Trinidad and Florida. We just cannot accept that. And that is why we will continue to insist on fair treatment for our policyholders.
Okay. It's important that there's so much money invested, and I guess persons may be asking themselves this question: how much money actually Grenada have invested in CLECO and BICO?
It's around $334 million. 34 of that would be in traditional insurance policies, and about $300 million in what we call annuities investment contracts. So those would be the flexible premium annuities, executive flexible premium annuities. That's where a lot of money is. So it's about $334 million. Well, we've taken care of the traditional. So let's say $300 million now. And it's just around 2,200 persons involved.
That's a lot of money.
Policyholders.
2,000 Grenadians have that amount of money, $300 million.
Well, that's
it. But this country have a lot of money.
More than we would think. Well, clearly had it, because some of it hasn't come back in yet. And some of it, all of it may not come back in, but we hope to recover as much as possible. But yes, surprisingly, a lot more wealth than you might think.
That's a good thing. Now, that leads me to the point, the question I had to ask about our national plan. What is the status of the National Plan 2030? We spoke about that early on, I think last month or so we did.
Yes. So you recall we launched the National Plan, preparation of the National Plan 2030, as we call it then. At the end of May, And since that time, we've been working. This National Steering Committee, which is broad-based, includes all of the social partners, the main political parties, and so on. That steering committee, as well as the technical working group, which is going to be responsible for actually writing the plan on the direction and guidance of the steering committee. We've had three joint meetings, and our next joint meeting is on the 21st of August. We made a couple of decisions, one of which is to change the name of the plan. So it's now going to be called National Sustainable Development Plan 2030. National Sustainable Development Plan 2030. Why? Because, one, we want to make sure we signal the focus on the social issues and on the environment, which is very important. But also we have to be aware of what is happening in the global context with the Sustainable Development Goals, which is led by the United Nations. And therefore, to ensure that we focus and we are properly aligned, it's going to be called National Sustainable Development Plan 2030. We've also expanded the members of the technical working group. So we now have Dr. Nicole Philip Dow, we have Dr. John Telesford, and Mrs. Lindona Glasgow. So those are additional. And we wanted to make sure we have some good technical minds, but also good gender balance. Mm-hmm. So it's not just economists and not just men, but you have people with a social background, education, skills, and so on. And we believe we've had three very good additions in that regard. So we are working, and after Carnival and as we go in later on in the year, there'll be a lot more public information. Right now, what we've been working on in the last few meetings is a vision in exercise. What do we want this country to look like? Mm-hmm. The vision in exercise. Obviously, we then have to validate that with our grassroots, so that we have to go to the communities and the highways and byways and ask them to validate whether this is in fact the vision they want. What do you want Canada to look like in 2030? What kind of citizen do we want to build or to grow in this country? What do we want our young people coming out of school to look like and to be? And what do we want them to have? And of course, the being is the first part. Being always comes before doing. The kind of values, the mm-hmm. kind of outlook you want. What do you want in a citizen? So those are the things we've been working on. We've been facilitated by Leon Charles, who's done an excellent job with the steering committee and the joint working group, technical working group. And as I said, our next meeting is 21st of August. So that's going. I should also add, we've set up a secretariat. We've actually got a senior public servant assigned full-time to head the secretariat, a former ambassador to Cuba. And we've also, his name is Mr. Rafael Joseph. And we've also had secretarial assistance as well as social media support. So we're taking it very seriously. And I'm really excited about it because it's a chance for all Grenadians from all walks of life in and outside of Grenada. So diaspora, you will be included in this effort to shape the future of our country, to get the future we want, to describe it, design it, and then to work together to achieve it.
It is about time. We take a word from our sponsors. This is Inside Finance. I'm Stanford Simon, speaking here to the Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Finance, Mr. Timothy Antoine. We're talking the National Plan and other things that's important to us. We take a word from our sponsors, come back, and we're talking geothermal and what is happening when it comes to energy and other things in Grenada.
St. George's Baptist Church. Purpose: the channel God chooses to fulfill the needs of humanity. Vision: building communities which become the model for winning people to Christ. Mission: goal: empowering people to enjoy prosperity and fulfillment in life. These are the purpose, vision, and mission of the St. George's Baptist Church.
Welcome back. I am Stanford Simon. With me in the studio is Mr. Timothy Antoine. Now, the question of energy. Recently, your ministry organize a geothermal forum. What more can you tell us about it, and where are we? Because early on in the year, we also raised the question of that. You begin that process with the person from New Zealand.
That's correct.
And therefore, where are we in terms of that?
I see you remembered well. Indeed. So we got some support from New Zealand. New Zealand has a lot of 70 years of experience in geothermal. About 80% of New Zealand's energy comes from renewable sources. Right, so they are very strong in renewables. So they've been providing technical assistance. So they came to Grenada in the early part of this year and did what is called a 3G study, which is geology, geophysics, and geochemistry, geophysics, and geology. And out of that, they were able to establish in some that Grenada has promising geothermal potential, that the heat generated could be in the region of 220 to 240 degrees Celsius, which is good. There is some additional work that needs to be done to further verify, validate these results, which they have asked us to, well, they're going to help us with, and perhaps Japan as well. But this, in sum, there is good potential, and the recommendation is that we should proceed to do to drill after doing some additional 3G work. The area, of course, our focus is in the general Mount St. Catherine area, Tufton Hall, Mount St. Catherine, going back in that Bele Estate, somewhere in that general direction. Okay. Now, to do that, we will have to do a number of things. So we'll do the additional checks as they've recommended. We will then have to do a comprehensive environmental and social impact assessment, very important, before the drilling begins. The pre-drilling or the feasibility part, test drill, and then also before the construction of a plant. So if in fact, after we've done the test wells, the test drilling, it turns out to be a go, and then we have to then move to the next stage, which is to build a geothermal plant, we have to do another environmental and social impact assessment before we proceed, because we have to take very careful consideration of the environment and make sure that we protect the environment, because of course in that area you have watersheds and you have, you know, obviously biodiversity and a number of things in the area. So there are standards that we will have to meet, and all of our partners who will be working with us will help us in that. So the geothermal forum was to bring together all of the development partners. So the first thing we did in the morning was to brief all the partners. That includes New Zealand, Japan, CDB, Germany, Mexico, and some others, I don't recall them all now. And then after that, we briefed local partners, Grenlec and other stakeholders in the local community. And finally, we briefed the media. So the whole day, July 30th, was spent on geothermal day. Bottom line is that there is potential, but there's some work to do. I must caution, however, that geothermal is not an overnight solution, meaning that it takes us 5-6 years to actually have a plan ready before we get geothermal. And it's not a cheap thing. But the thing about geothermal is that it is renewable. It is constant, not intermittent like the sun. So once you do it, you can be guaranteed that you have a stable supply of energy that is domestic or indigenous. And as well, with that certainty, you could manage the cost. Mm-hmm. So eventually you could also see your cost start to come down. But that is something we are going to continue to work on, and we are grateful for the support of the government of New Zealand. And of course now Japan and CDB and others have said that they are very willing. The British, I forgot to mention the British, who are also there. They are prepared to help us, in fact, to help us with some grants to do the drilling, to help us to prove the resource. And as I said before, and I say again, a very big difference between how we are approaching this in Grenada and some other countries have done it, is that the first thing we want to do is establish whether we actually have the geothermal potential.
Which is critical.
Critical, and prove it. If we do that, we can then enter into a proper arrangement with the private sector, where we have a proper agreement with benefits that are equitably shared for Grenada and Grenadians. If we do the other way around, we don't prove it, we give somebody a contract to go and check and speculate, they will take a lot of time looking for money, they may not raise the money. If they do raise the money, the benefits will flow mainly to them because they've taken most of the risk. By doing it the way we're doing it, working with partners, we reduce the risk, or we de-risk the project to the extent that we can get a much better deal for Grenada and Grenadians when we get to signing something with the private sector down the road. So this is a very important approach. And then we have to do a geothermal law and a number of other things to actually support that. And as we go along, we will talk more about that, because energy, remember, our ministry is finance and energy. The Prime Minister is the Minister of Finance and Energy. So energy is very much part of our portfolio.
Okay. Just quickly, though, for persons who are wondering, what is geothermal? Because I'm wondering.
Oh, geothermal is basically heat from the ground. It's deep into the Earth's crust. There's heat based on volcanic activity and so on. And that heat can then be used to create steam that you can use to generate electricity. So essentially, geothermal, geo is earth, thermal is heat. It really is heat from the earth that we're using to do that. And that's what New Zealand has done. That's what Mexico has done. That's why they were also here. And of course, others across the world have been using geothermal for many years now. It's a very safe form of energy once you are able to do the initial investment.
With all that has been happening, we're almost out of time again. Time runs very quickly here when we sit to talk. And I think next time I really want to look at the homegrown, because I think it's important. I wouldn't have time to deal with it now, but the next time you're in, maybe next week you come back and we talk about that. Now, where are we when it's come to the country? What direction? You're within the Ministry of Finance. What can you tell us? What is happening in the economy?
Well, certainly, as we have shared before, and I can confirm, the economy is growing again. And the fact of the matter is that the economy has grown on average by 4% over the last 2 years. When you look at the period between 2009 and 2012, which is the height of the recession, the economy was not growing. Except for 1 year when there was 0.4% growth, it contracted or declined in every other year. What we've seen since 2013 is a resumption of growth, so that we've had 3.1% in 2013 and 4.85% in 2014. That's a very significant development in light of the adjustment program, the homegrown program that we're doing. So the economy is growing, unemployment is falling. But more importantly, I believe, is just the increased confidence we've seen from the investors. More and more investors are coming to the table. I think you know Silver Sands project has started. Other things have started. The Clarkscote Marina has just finished phase one. They just opened the Mermaid Tavern in Karaku. In other words, these are private sector people taking risks and investing in the country, which is an important barometer of increased investor confidence in the country. So that, and then we're working on a national plan. You know, so even as the government is putting its fiscal house in order, the private sector is taking more and more risk and beginning to invest more and more. We've seen it as well in the applications at GIDC. So that there is, in my mind, a clear indication that the country's, the economic fortunes of our country are beginning to improve. The fiscal situation is being turned around. And to be honest with you, I'm very hopeful about the direction of the improvement in the economy over the next couple of years. So that's the positive thing. It's not been easy. We've had to make a lot of sacrifices, but I think we've seen the results, and we're certainly getting some improved roads now. So that's a sign that there's some additional.
I must agree. You travel to granddads around the country, even by the Starmount, where they have that big deep thing that has been fixed. That's a big difference.
Well, it helps. It just the everyday drive. We all do it. We all drive, whether it's car or by bus, we commute, and it's just a sign that. As things improve, we're able to do a bit more to help all the nation in various practical ways. So I'm very hopeful for my country, Pastor Simon. Very, very hopeful.
That's good. I'm happy you are, and that makes us feel comfortable. And you could feel something is happening in the economy. And I, as a contractor, do you see more and more work is happening? You're getting little. You weren't getting 2 years or 3 years ago. You're seeing it now. So I think you're correct that things are happening. Well, we're out of time. Thank you so much for being with me today. Next time when you come, I really want to talk about a homegrown. Where are we? What is happening? To help to give us some detail on that. All right, I've been speaking there to Mr. Timothy Antoine, Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Finance. As you've heard, we talk the geothermal, we talk a little bit kind of what's happening there and the visitors to our country. I do hope the next time I have him here to talk detail more about what's happening with the homegrown, which is important, I think, for us, and he to give us some guidance on that. I am Stanford Simon. Go to the website sgbcgrenada.com. This program is uploaded there under the heading Encounter Interviews, and you can also go to the Ministry of Finance website where the program is also uploaded there, and I do share it with others across the country and business persons by email. Wish you a great week. Join me here next week at the same time where we do this all over again, right here on Inside Finance. I am Stanford Simon, wishing you a very blessed week.
You have been listening to another edition of Inside Finance, a program that explores the financial and economic challenges of our time. Join us next week for another edition.